The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We need to obey what he is saying to us individually and corporately as a church. God wants to give us direction. Most of the time, we're so cluttered with our own thoughts, our own life, the things that are going on, that we can't hear the voice of God. There are a lot of voices speaking to us in this world. Most of them are not worth listening to. Amen? Most of them will lead you in the wrong direction. Most of them are giving you bad advice. And that is, I'm talking about your coworker at work. I'm talking about your family sometimes will give you bad. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't listen to that advice. Listen, when the world is telling you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, run from that. Get away from it. It's only the Word of God that we need to take advice from. And when you can line up someone's advice with the Word of God, then you need to flow in that. You need to listen to it. You need to follow it. Because it's good advice. It's godly advice. It's advice from righteousness and right standing with God. Too many times we're listening to the wrong voices. And those voices are destroying families. They're destroying churches. They're destroying relationships. They're dismantling people's finances because we're listening to the voice that says buy, 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 credit, credit, credit. That's not a God voice. That's the voice of the world. That's the voice of the enemy that wants to bind you up and shackle you with ungodly shackles that keep you bound up and that keep you not only from being able to do the things that you want to do, but keep you from doing the things God wants you to do. What a God we serve. He's awesome and He's mighty. He's powerful. He wants us to hear His voice. It is loud and clear if we can get all the clutter out. Have you ever been in a place trying to talk on your phone and there's a lot of exterior noise, clutter? You know how hard it is to talk to somebody when there's a lot of other people around talking? Traffic noise, people talking, sirens going off, crazy stuff. It's almost impossible to hear that person. It's the same way with God. When we have our life so cluttered, it's like being in Grand Central Station. God's yelling. God is crying out. God's voice is loud, but we've got all these other things that are pressing in on us. We've got to get them cleaned up. Got to get the stuff out of our life. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear. He can't hear because we're allowing stuff in our life. Stuff that's holding us back. Stuff that's keeping us from being able to hear His voice and then be able to transfer our thoughts, godly, righteous thoughts and prayers toward our God. You know, the New Testament really backs that up. It tells us that our prayers, talking to husbands, if you don't treat your wives right, your prayers are hindered. That's what it tells us. It also speaks about having your prayers hindered if you're not conducting your life properly in Peter. We have a responsibility to get stuff cleaned up. And you know, I've been talking about the soul. Soul man has been my topic. I picked this back up from before Easter. And we're talking about the reality that we have a soul. And that soul was created by our living God. But we also have a body and we have a spirit. And in Genesis, it says that God created, second chapter of Genesis, I believe it's chapter or verse 7. It says that God created. That's not the right verse. Somebody get me straightened out. It says that God created man and he created him out of the dust, out of the clay of the earth. And he had him laying there. He was an inanimate object. No life. And then it says, he breathed the breath of life into him. He spirited. Literally says, he spirited into him the spirit of life. And man became a living being. Or in King James, it says, a living soul. And we know it as our soul. So the body and the soul mechanism was there, and God put in the life form, the life that we needed, by putting a spirit in man. And science can't tell you why we are animate. They can't tell you why we have breath. They can't tell you why these things are happening, and that we're able to have consciousness and reason and all these things. They can't tell you. They know that there's electrical impulses going on in our bodies, but they can't tell you why that is happening. Because the only reason it's happening is because our God wills it to happen. And our God put this thing inside of every one of us that we can't see, our spirit. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your spirit is born again. It's got new life. It's re-energized. And you begin on a path, a trail, a trek that will lead you to the ability and into a greater understanding of who God is as you renew your mind, will, and emotions, which is your soul realm. When you renew your soul, you see, your spirit is crying out to do the things God wants you to do. Your spirit is crying out to listen to the Holy Spirit that is inside of you, that is speaking to your spirit, and it's crying out and it speaks to your soul realm. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it wants you to do right. It wants you to hear God. It wants you to obey the word of the Lord. But on the other hand, you've got your flesh, this body, and the fleshly desires that we have. And it's crying out, I want you to please me. I want you to do the things that make me feel good. I want you to get me satisfied. Flesh is always crying out. I know it's crying out right now. Some of you are saying, when in the world is this going to be over? Your flesh is saying, what's going on? And your flesh cries out to do something that is contrary to the word of God. Not always. You know, sometimes our flesh agrees as long as it makes our flesh feel good. For instance, let me give you a scripture. I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Your flesh likes that. Right? Come on, how many dislike that scripture? No one's raising their hand. Everyone likes that scripture because it speaks to the reality that God wants us to prosper in everything that we do. But you got it. But let's listen to it. Listen closely to what it says. Even as your soul prospers. He didn't say your spirit prospers. He said your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. Even as your mind, your will, your emotions line up with the word of God. If those things will line up with the word of God, then you can have prosperity in everything. Right. Now, here's part of the problem that we have in the church, the Americanized church. And that is, when we say prosperity, the first thing we start thinking about is money. We start thinking, all right, that means that I'm going to have a big car, that I'm going to have a big house, that I'm going to have a big bank account, that I'm going to have all the things that my flesh likes. Right? Come on, we've heard this prosperity message preached over and over and over and over. And we get it all messed up with wealth. Okay? And I'm not opposed to wealth. I want wealth. I want to prosper in everything. But you see, that scripture teaches us absolutely that God wants us to prosper in all these other things in our life as our soul prospers. So if you give somebody who does not have a prosperous soul, according to the Word of God, wealth, what are they going to do with it? That's right. That's evident sometimes in people that win lotteries or win money gambling. Great, you know, they win great amounts of money, or they're given money through inheritance. Normally, what happens is they squander that. And sometimes it destroys their life rather than helping and encouraging their life. So we've got to have the right mindset about this. And let me tell you something. I'm not a wealthy man when it comes to money. But I consider myself a very prosperous person. And there's several things that I can just lay out for you that says I have prosperity. I have a great family. Wonderful children. I have a beautiful wife that loves me and I love her. There is no amount of money that can pay for that. I have a roof over my head. It may not be the one I want right now, but I have one. And it's warm. And in the summer, it's cool. Because I have air conditioning. It's a mobile home. If I didn't have air conditioning, I would roast in there. You know, I have a wonderful church. A body of believers that love me. At least most of you do. And those of you who don't, at least you don't throw stones. Praise God. I have a prosperous life. And my soul prospers because I try my best to line up my life with the Word of God. I know what the Word says about many things. I don't have all the Bible memorized. But for the most part, I can tell you what the Bible says about marriage. I can tell you what the Bible says about finance. I can tell you what the Bible says about relationship. I can tell you what the Bible says about all these nuances of our life. I may not be able to give you chapter and verse, but overall, I can tell you the basics of what the Word of God says. That makes me prosperous. And yeah, praise God. I'd be excited, ecstatic if next week I had $1 million dropped in my lap. However, if I'm a smart man, it wouldn't change my lifestyle. You know? If I have wisdom, if I'm really a prosperous person, it would not change my lifestyle. I would continue to live the way God tells me to live every day. That's right. Come on. Now, it would change some circumstance in my life. It would change the amount of money that I had flowing in on a regular basis. It would change the way I'd be able to help and minister to other people. It would change my family's dynamics. You know, there'd be a lot of things that would change, but overall, it would not change my perception about life. Amen. And about God. Hallelujah. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
Praise God. Our soul needs to prosper. It's the thing that we use to decide whether we are going to serve our flesh or whether we're going to serve our spirit. And our spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit. Our spirit recognizes the power of God and what God wants to do inside of each and every one of us. I heard a little story it's been some time ago, but it's a true story about a pastor who took his children to a restaurant. And he had a 6-year-old son, and as they sat down, they asked the 6-year-old to pray. And how many have ever had a 6-year-old pray for you? Isn't it wonderful? I mean, they pray what's on their mind. We used to have a little boy in children's church when we were doing children's church in another church, Living Word. Thank you, Pastor Otis. We were there together. Living Word. And when he prayed, it was a long prayer. You better pack a lunch when this little boy prayed. He prayed for everybody on the face of the earth. And then when he was done praying for everybody that he could think of to pray for, and then he would say this. This is crazy, but this is what he'd do. He'd say, and thank you for that, and thank you for that, and thank you for that, and thank you. And he'd just go on and on. It's a crazy prayer. But it was a kid trying his best to pray. Hello. Praise God. Yes, you never know what to expect. Doesn't matter what age they are. Amen. So anyhow, this guy's little boy was praying, and he prayed, and he said, thank you for this food. He said, he prayed the normal prayer that you teach children. Somebody help me here with this prayer. Thank you. God is great. God is good. Let us thank you for this food. And then at the end of it, he said this. He said, and it would really be good if Mom and Dad would let me have ice cream after. And then he ended it and with liberty and justice for all. You know. Everybody in the restaurant broke up. You know, they were just all laughing, except one very religious woman who heard that and became indignant. And everybody in the restaurant heard this. Now, this is a true story, so I want you to recognize, you know, how some people can become extremely religious about their thoughts and how it hinders the way we worship God. If you let religion get in the way, it will keep you from having a relationship. Because religion takes the place of relationship with our Father. This woman said, and that's what's wrong with kids today. They don't even know how to pray. The little boy just crushed him. He just started crying, weeping, and his dad consoled him. And he said to his dad, did I do it wrong? Is God mad at me? And the dad said, no, God's not mad at you. You did fine. It was a good prayer. And another elderly gentleman got up and came over and talked to him a little bit. And he said, I happen to know that God loved that prayer. And you know something? I also know this, that a little ice cream is good for the soul. So he, after the meal, guess what? The boy had ice cream. They set ice cream down in front of him, and here's what the father said. He said he'd never forget this, because what happened was they set the ice cream down in front of him, and he looked at it, and then he got up, and he went over, and he put it down in front of the lady. And with a smile, he said, I hear that ice cream sometimes is good for the soul. Now get this. And he looked right at her and he said, my soul is already good. Hallelujah. Oh, I can just imagine. She got up. She was indignant. She said, well, I never, and walked out. Leave it to a six-year-old to drive it in. Whew. There are good things God wants you to have. Good things. You know, ice cream is good for the soul sometimes. Pleasure is good for the soul. God wants you to enjoy this life. He loves you and He has enjoyment for you in this life. And sometimes that pleases our flesh. I'm not telling you that you have to do everything in this life that is contrary to your flesh and you can never do anything that pleases it. That's not right. God wants us to have pleasure in this world. However, we have to have a balance and we have to recognize how good this thing is that God has given us. And He wants us to be able to balance it in such a way that we're not being driven by our flesh all the time. That every decision we make with our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions is not based on our flesh. It's based on whether our spirit agrees with our flesh. You hear me? You understand what I'm saying? We've got to allow our spirit to dictate where we are and what we're doing in this world. If we allow our flesh to dictate, we're going to do all kinds of things that are contrary to God's word and will justify it. We are very good at justifying our actions. And you will find a way in your mind, because you have to justify what you're doing. You can be doing horrendous evil and still come to church on Sunday morning and be able to have I don't know how it works. Psychologists might be able to tell us. I know God could. But somehow we are able to be able to do horrendous things continually. You hear what David said? If I regard iniquity in my soul, iniquity is an ongoing sin. If I regard that in my heart, He'll not hear me. In other words, if I put up with it, if I let myself think that this thing that I'm doing on a regular basis is okay, God's not going to hear my prayers. And listen, our righteousness is not in us. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. However, it is very clear from the Word of God that we can get to the point where we are living such a terrible lifestyle that it hinders our relationship with our Father. I love my children. My children and my grandchildren. I love my son. I love my daughters. I love all those grandchildren very much. And I would never reject them. And your Heavenly Father is not going to reject you. However, when they behave inappropriately, it hinders our relationship. When they do things that Dad said, don't do. When Dad says, listen, this is going to be harmful to you, don't do that, it interferes with our relationship. I don't have the communication with them that I should have. Why? Because they refuse to listen. And believe it or not, Dad has some wisdom. I've lived this life for some years. I have found out that my wisdom comes from the Word of God. It's not something that I just learned through living life. It's something that I learned through living life and applying the Word of God to my life every day. So, hallelujah. If we can just get to the point where we recognize that this soul realm that we have, this mind, will, and emotions, needs to be under the power of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to our spirit, then we'll not allow the flesh to dictate to us. Yes, there are times that we just absolutely have to put the flesh down and say, I am not going to live the way my flesh tells me to live. You know, that's why fasting is so good. Fasting causes you to take authority over your flesh and causes your spirit to have dominance. You know what it does for you? If you fast and you think you're going to move God by your fasting, forget it. Don't fast and think you're moving God. When you fast, you're building your spirit man up. And when the less you eat, the stronger he becomes. The less you get involved with those pleasures that cause you to feel good in the flesh, the stronger your spirit man becomes. It builds up your faith. And it causes you to have your spirit to have dominance over your whole life. How many have ever come off a fast and just, you just felt like, wow. Look out, devil, here I come. It's because you've been built up. It builds you up. And the only thing, there is only one thing that moves God. That's faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder. How do you like that? I love it. When I think about that, he rewards those who seek after him diligently. Glory. Praise you, Lord God. Asambakata. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Let's start with verse 10. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. He's at the well. And he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Water with life in it. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Boy, if she had only realized, and Jesus says, if you knew who was talking to you, you would realize, I am greater. I am. I am the great I am. I'm standing right here in front of you. In the flesh, yes, but I'm your God. And I am the one that created all this. I am the one that caused Jacob and Abraham and Isaac and all these people to follow after me. Caused them to dig the wells in the wilderness. And I brought forth the water. I am who I am. Glory. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of the water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Woo. Took her a little while. But when he started saying things, started speaking into her personal life, things that have happened to her. Now listen, we need to make sure that we do not project our Western culture on this situation. Now, for us, we would have thought, okay, this woman, she's had five husbands, so she's probably left every one of them, divorced them, and moved on to another one, time after time after time. But we got to realize their culture was not like that. The man did the divorcing. The man had the authority. So she had been rejected time after time after time. We don't know why. We don't have that insight, but Jesus certainly did. And as he was speaking into her life, he was speaking something that she needed. He was not talking, you know, as we look at this, she was talking about natural things and he was talking about spiritual things. He was talking about this living water that only he could bring to her. And later on, he tells all the disciples that I'm going to send you another helper. And that was the living water that he was talking about. I'm going to send you another comfort, another helper. And that helper is going to live in you. And he's going to lead you into all truth. That living water that she so much needed was going to heal all that rejection that she had. All that hurt and all that pain that had taken place in her life over the many, many years. We don't know how many years it took for her to have all these husbands. But she had been hurt deeply. And Jesus spoke into her and he said, I'm going to give you living water. And she still couldn't comprehend what he was talking about. The only thing she was hearing was water that's going to quench my natural thirst. That's not what he wanted. He wanted her to be healed. He wanted her to be whole. He wanted her to not only know salvation in Christ, he wanted her to know healing, emotional healing in him. I read a story about a man that was in the desert. And he was walking in the desert and he was becoming very, very thirsty, no water. Nothing in sight. And finally, he stumbled upon this oasis. And there was shelter there. And there was a well. But it had a pump on it. A hand pump. And beside of it was a jar of water. And on this jar of water, it says, this water is to prime the pump. And he looked at that water. And he was extremely thirsty. He'd been walking in the desert for hours and hours. No water. And he had a decision to make. Was he going to drink that water that would quench his thirst? Or was he going to believe that that water was to prime the pump so they could have more water? He made a faithful decision. He decided to prime the pump. And he poured that water in the pump, and he started pumping, and he pumped, and he pumped, and he pumped, and no water came out. And boy, he was starting to get nervous. And finally, water came out of that. Water that sustained his life. And not only, he got so much water out of that pump that he took a bath in it, that he filled up more containers that were around there with water. He had all the water he needed. It kept him alive. He took the jar, he filled it back up, and he wrote on it. He said, please believe this water will prime the pump. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I got to say to us about the pump and the water. There's living water in Jesus Christ. That's right. But if we just go around looking for an emotional experience, it's like drinking the jar of water.
That's right.
We drink that jar of water. And man, it felt good. It satisfied my thirst. But guess what? I got to go around and try to find another emotional high.
That's right.
Come on. And I'm not, please don't get me wrong. I am not opposed to emotion. I'm not opposed to getting excited. I'm not opposed to praising the Lord and jumping and shouting and doing all those things that get us stirred up in the spirit. That's good. But if that's the extent of your spiritual experience, you are going to get thirsty very quick. You're going to get dry and thirsty. And if you're just running around from one place to another looking for that jar of water, you can drink it up and you'll feel good for a little while, but you're going to get very, very thirsty again. If you come here on Sunday mornings just to get a drink, one drink throughout the week, You're going to get very thirsty the rest of the week.
Come on. Amen.
You've got, you must develop your relationship with the Lord God. You must read His Word. You must pray. You must seek His face. You must hear for yourself. Listen, other people can speak into your life. I believe in the prophetic. I believe in words of wisdom and knowledge. I believe in all these things, the gifts of the Spirit being in operation. And people can speak into your life. But if you're relying on somebody else to speak into your life all the time, it's going to destroy you. The only thing you should do when someone speaks into your life, the only way that you should receive that word is if it lines up with what God has spoken to you. If somebody tells you that thus saith the Lord, go to Africa, and that doesn't line up with your spirit, don't worry about it. Don't accept it. But if God has been speaking to you, God has been dealing with you, you'll know it. If He's been saying, I want you to prepare for the mission field, then you can receive, because that's what the word, that's what those words are all about. That's what prophecy is. That's what words of knowledge, words of wisdom. It's all a confirmation for what God has been speaking to you. And listen, you're not going to hear what God has been speaking to you unless you have a relationship with your Father.
Amen.
He wants you to have that kind of relationship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, our worship team to come back up.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.